Markets Feel the Hangover.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. You may have heard about President Bush's unofficial sum up of our current economic situation. It ended up getting some pretty serious play on YouTube.
He got drunk and now he's got a hangover.
Hangover. That's a pretty accurate assessment of what's going on in the markets right now. Wall Street was having a pretty good week, in spite of a series of multi-billion dollar losses from banks and some serious problems from mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. See, oil prices were declining, Congress was passing a multi-billion dollar mortgage bailout, and a lot of those banks didn't lose as much money as expected. But all that optimism caught up with the markets. Some disappointing unemployment figures and home sales, as well as some big losses from Ford, had the markets dropping early in the day, and they just kept going. The Dow Jones Industrial Average said 2.4%, and all that bad cheer made its way overseas. Australia's index fell 3.4% after National Australia Bank said it had lost about $800 million because of U.S. mortgages. And London's FTSE is down 0.9%. Actually, the ailing British economy played a major role in the crushing defeat of the Labour Party in special election. And this morning, there are more concerns about the future of Prime Minister Gordon Brown. Stephen Beard has more from London.
The parliamentary seat of Glasgow East in Scotland has been a Labour stronghold for 60 years, but voters there delivered a stunning rebuff to the ruling party. Economics is the key. The district is one of Britain's most deprived. The average life expectancy is only 64. Unemployment is 20%. As the whole British economy slows down, the district is fearful it will suffer even further hardship. When he was finance chief, Gordon Brown presided over 10 years of national prosperity. He was hailed a maestro. Not anymore, says analyst David Buick.
You can't blame him for the downturn of the world's economy. What you can blame him for is spending money indiscriminately on the public sector, where the taxpayer has not felt any benefit at all. And that's what I think they're unforgiving about.
Brown's opinion poll rating has slumped and speculation is growing his party will force him out of the top job long before they face a national election in 2 years' time. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Oil is back up a bit today, but it's still about 15% less than it was earlier this month. Gas prices are down a bit too, but I still wouldn't call $4 a gallon cheap. Neither do New York taxi drivers. They want to tack a dollar onto every fare to offset gas prices. Jessica Lessenhop reports.
Taxi and Limousine Commission Chairman Matthew Dowd says a surcharge is no solution.
Especially with the hybrids coming onto the road. You know, we want the drivers to buy the hybrids. They do that instantaneously, the gas issue goes away.
About 10% of New York's more than 13,000 taxis are now fuel efficient. Frank Felder is director of the Center for Energy, Economic, and Environmental Policy at Rutgers University.
It is up front an out-of-pocket of expense of an additional $5,000, $6,000. But you're saving about that much per year.
Cab drivers say they need a surcharge now to survive. They may find themselves swapping for a hybrid anyway. Taxi cabs are replaced every 3 to 5 years, and new cabs must get at least 25 miles per gallon. In New York, I'm Jessica Lesnop for Marketplace.
Can you spell lawsuit? Scrabble can. Owner Hasbro is suing Facebook over Scrabulous, a word game played by many of the social networking site's users. Earlier this month, Hasbro launched a version of its own official Scrabble game on Facebook, but so far it only has around 9,000 users. Scrabulous has about 500,000.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Clarkson Potter's The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now.
I don't know about you, but with the economy the way it is, I'm always up for a little escapism, and so are a lot of other people. Batman is expected to continue breaking box office records this weekend, and of course the X-Files movie opens. Michael Spire is the executive editor of Variety. Michael, thank you for coming in.
Sure.
Let's start out with the big news, which is the summer box office. Everybody's saying that summer box office this year is surprisingly good.
Right. It is surprisingly good, and the keyword is surprising. Last year, we had these huge sequels, all one after the other, and they said nothing would ever touch the same amount of grosses, and we're actually ahead slightly than last summer. So it just shows that the movie business is really immune to a lot of problems.
The other big entertainment news this week, Emmy Awards were announced, and there was some big news in there, including the first time ever that basic cable has gotten some shows nominated.
Right. It's a big deal because in the past, everybody always said HBO, they always had an unfair advantage because they could use tactics that networks couldn't use, language being one of them. But something like FX, something like AMC, Damages, Mad Men, those shows never really got any love before. Now they're getting a lot of love, and they don't have the excuse that they can do whatever they want because they can't use the language. They can't have the movie-like atmosphere that HBO always uses.
What changed this year? Why are these basic cable shows getting so much attention?
Well, I do think that it's the fractioning of the TV audience. They're just spreading their attention. And now, finally, shows like Mad Men can exist, very classy, very sophisticated. You see a lot of programs spending the money because this is the result. You get Emmy nominations, and just that alone shows other networks they can get the same attention.
And just one final question, which is I'd read that more people are buying fancy TVs this year, I guess, because the economy's going down. They're not going on vacation. They are investing
right, exactly.
in nice TVs. Does that change things at all for television? Are they maybe investing a little more because they see the possibility for more viewers?
I think what it does is by buying their TVs and by staying at home more, the television community knows that they have an audience out there that they can try to grab. So they try to up the creativity level. And that's why we start seeing shows like Mad Men. And we're going to see a lot more of them because now everybody's, you can argue, is staying at home a little more and they're looking for other ways to spend their dollar, thus going to the movies or thus watching Mad Men on AMC.
Which is premiering this weekend.
This weekend, Sunday, correct.
Michael Spires, the executive editor for Daily Variety. Michael, thank you for coming in.
Pleasure.
And if you have a question or a comment for us, send us an email. Our address is letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.